Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello and welcome to the program, UFO Warning. In this episode, we're looking at 10 unsolved UFO cases. That's correct, 10 unsolved UFO cases. We'll just go through these quickly, and then I'll go back as time permits and go over some of these in more detail. Interesting cases, nonetheless. I found this over at spyscape.com, spyscape.com. I'll put the links at the Ko-Fi website and the Locals website. The title says, Top 10 Mysterious UFO Sightings That Still Haunt Witnesses. So just think about that. While the government and the DOD and AERO are out there telling you and telling anyone that will listen that all of these UFO sightings have been explained or explained away, that's not the case. We have lots and lots of cases that have never been explained. It begins, it says, in 2020, the Pentagon released three grainy videos taken by Navy pilots who witnessed speeding objects mysteriously disappear. After a thorough review, the DOD found the videos did not reveal any sensitive capabilities or systems and did not impinge on any subsequent investigations of military airspace incursions by unidentified aerial phenomena. The videos show what pilots saw during training flights in 2004 and 2015. They remain unexplained. I would just differ a little bit with that. What you're seeing is a very grainy video. I mean, I have to think these guys are seeing better quality video than that. And they're there in the cockpit. We don't know what they saw with their own eyes. It goes on, it says, here are 10 other bizarre UFO sightings that still give witnesses the shivers. Number one, quote, we're not crazy. Pilots tell Yellowknife air traffic controllers in 2023. Canadian air traffic controllers and pilots couldn't identify two white lights moving in a circular pattern reported over Canada's Northwest Territories in 2023. It says, good evening, just wondering, do you got two planes that are just to the east of your field doing circuits or maneuvers, unquote, a crew member aboard a Canadian North flight headed to Yellowknife Northwest Territories asked air traffic controllers. It was just before midnight on January 29th, 2023. Negative, I have no reported traffic in the areas, the Yellowknife air traffic controller replied. Do you have a visual on something? The crew of the twin turboprop Canadian North aircraft responded somewhat hesitantly. Yeah, we're looking at two lights dancing around here, to the east of your field. They're above us, about I don't know what. We're not seeing them on TCAS, that's Traffic Control Collision Avoidance Systems, but we can see the lights moving around. There's a pause before the crew member radios back to say, we're not crazy. No, we believe you, the air traffic controller replies. The sightings remain unexplained. Now, we did a podcast on this one. Fascinating case where pilots are in the air, they see the UFOs, and they're still unexplained, even though the FAA tells us there's nothing to worry about with these things flying around in and around air traffic. Goes on here, it says, the Phoenix Lights Incident, 1997, Arizona, U.S. Now, we've talked about this extensively on the program. In 1997, multiple witnesses reported seeing a large triangular-shaped object flying over Phoenix, Arizona. The object was described as it being massive in size, silent, and emitting a series of lights. Despite the numerous eyewitness accounts and photographic evidence, the Phoenix Lights incident remains a topic of debate and speculation. Some believe that the object was a secret military aircraft, while others believe that it was an extraterrestrial spacecraft. Well, this was a very strange incident. A lot of weird stuff happened around that. You know, you remember Fife Symington coming out and doing the little alien skit. Also, some stuff happening with people losing video they'd taken of this thing. Really weird stuff going on there. We'll come back to that for just a minute and talk about it a little bit more. This here, a third one, it says, Rendlesham Forest Incident, 1980, Suffolk, UK. The Rendlesham Forest incident took place in England in 1980 near the joint U.S.-UK military base of RAF Bentwaters and RAF Woodbridge. According to eyewitnesses, military officers encountered an unidentified glowing object in the forest, which they described as being metallic and emitting a bright light. They also reported strange symbols etched on the object's surface, and they claimed that they experienced a range of physical and psychological effects after their encounter. Despite an official investigation by the military, the Rendlesham Forest incident remains unexplained. That's one of those, it took place a long time ago, and it's very strange to me, I think, too. There are some questions I have about that, though. Number four says the Gulf Breeze 6, 1987 to 1988, Gulf Breeze, Florida. The Gulf Breeze 6 refers to a series of UFO sightings that took place in Gulf Breeze, Florida in the 1980s. According to accounts, six Florida residents claim to have encountered a series of strange flying objects, including a large triangular-shaped craft. Some believe that the sightings were genuine encounters with extraterrestrial craft, while others argue that they were hoaxes or misidentifications of other aircraft. Despite official investigations, there are no clear-cut answers. It's always funny how the people that weren't there can tell you what you saw. We go down here to number five. It says, the Westfall UFO Incident, 1966, Wellborn, Australia. This is another really strange one. The Westall UFO incident took place in Melbourne, Australia in 1966 when a large disc-shaped object was seen hovering low in the sky above a school in the suburb of Westall. The object was described as being silent and emitting a bright light, and it reportedly landed briefly in a nearby field before taking off again. The sighting was reported by multiple witnesses, including students and teachers at the school. The site is now a UFO-themed children's playground. Must have had a real impact on those folks. Number six, the Lakenheath Bentwaters Incident, 1956, England, UK. As spooky incidents go, the Lakenheath Bentwaters Incident is right up there. The UFO sighting took place in England in 1956 when a series of strange lights were seen in the sky over Bentwaters and Lakenheath air bases. They were described as being large, glowing objects that were flying at high speeds and performing unusual maneuvers. The sighting was reported by multiple witnesses, including military personnel. It remains one of the most mysterious and unexplained UFO sightings in Europe. Here's number seven, the Murray Island Incident, 1947, Puget Sound, Washington, U.S. We've talked about this multiple times on the podcast. This is a weird one. The Murray Island Incident took place in Puget Sound, Washington in 1947. A large donut-shaped object was seen hovering above the waters of Puget Sound, and strange objects, including rocks and metal fragments, reportedly fell from the earth and landed on the nearby island of Murray. The sighting was reported by two witnesses, and to this day, the incident continues to generate interest and speculation among enthusiasts. This is a case where they tried to claim that the UFO metamaterial that was discharged actually came from a local foundry or something, I think, and they really really beat up on this guy. I think one of them recanted their testimony and then came back and said, well, no, I was forced to recant. I mean, this 1947 sighting here in Washington, remember, this would have been the first time, you know, the same year as Rockwell, not that long after, I think, the flying saucer spotted elsewhere in Washington. And so he had a lot of activity going on, but the way these people were depersoned and harassed, if you go back and look at this case, we've talked about this on the podcast, really a concerning situation. Number eight, the world's UFO hotspot, it says 1992 to 2023, Bonny Bridge, Scotland. The picturesque Scottish town of Bonny Bridge between Glasgow and Edinburgh is the world's UFO hotspot with more than 6,000 sightings, and residents are demanding to know why. Local councillor Billy Buchanan wants a government investigation. Is it military? We don't know, but we demand to know. UFO experts have descended on Bonny Bridge, but no one can explain the alien crop circles or sightings that began in 1992 when a motorist reported a craft floating over the road nestled between the dark rolling mountains and the misty glens. So it's really beautiful scenery out there, this rolling kind of pastoral landscape. Just imagine seeing a flying saucer out there, or a crop circle. They've got some pretty good diagrams here for this next one. This is the Coyne Helicopter Incident. It says 1973, Ohio, U.S. The Coyne Helicopter Incident is a well-known UFO sighting that took place in Ohio in 1973. According to eyewitness accounts, a U.S. Army Reserve helicopter was flying over Mansfield, Ohio, when it encountered a strange cylindrical object that was reportedly hovering in the air. The object was described as being over 100 feet in length and having several lights on its surface. The helicopter crew reported that their instruments were affected by the presence of the object and that it appeared to be maneuvering in a way that defied the laws of physics. Well, don't tell Sean Kirkpatrick that, because nothing has ever happened that defies the laws of physics as far as UFOs go. The Delphos UFO sighting, 1971, Delphos, Kansas, U.S., says, in 1971, a large glowing object was reportedly seen hovering in the sky above Delphos. It was described as being circular in shape and emitting a bright light. The sighting was reported by multiple witnesses. That's very interesting. We'll take a look at that one too. Area 51 in Roswell says, some of you may be wondering about Area 51, which is so spooky, we've dedicated an entire article to it. As for Roswell, the mother of all UFO stories, no object was actually observed, so we've parked Roswell to one side. For those who don't know the story, Roswell UFO incident took place in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947, involving the crash of an extraterrestrial spacecraft and the recovery of its debris by the U.S. military. According to the story, the wreckage was taken to a military base where it was kept secret and covered up by the government. Yeah, I think we can be pretty sure of that. Now, I want to go back and take a look at a couple of these specific cases we talked about here, because I just think they're so interesting. So we'll look at two of these cases. First one is the Phoenix Lights case. This happened back in 1997. It's mass UFO sighting of this UFO, triangle UFO rather, going across the state of Arizona. It just seemed like it went on half the night. And we get a really good idea of how the government treated it. Even with, you know, hundreds, probably thousands of witnesses, different video taken of this thing, the governor, Fife Symington, just came out and made a joke of it. And then later on said, well, we had to keep people calm. This is a sort of, I don't know, I guess it's just out of the playbook of how the government handles things. And this is what I would expect them to do anytime there's a major mass UFO sighting. They just go with the playbook, denial, denial, denial. This article is from Axios, dated March 13th, 2024. It says, Phoenix Lights became Arizona UFO legend in 1997. 27 years ago, Wednesday, the Phoenix Lights incident propelled Arizona into the annals of UFO lore. Then it goes on here. It says, on the night of March 13th, 1997, people in the Phoenix area reported seeing a grouping of lights arranged in a V-shape hovering over the valley. A second sighting later that night was reported by a police officer who said he saw a series of red-orange lights hanging over the valley. The second sighting was attributed to Maryland Air National Guard aircraft dropping flares during a training exercise. Of course, I think we've pretty much disproven that. A Tucson astronomer and retired Air Force pilot chalked up the first incident to another group of A-10 Warthogs flying in formation. Now, you see, this is more nonsense coming up here with trying to debunk this whole thing. Never proven. Many believe the lights were from UFOs, people with common sense. The Phoenix Lights incident prompted one of the most memorable press conferences in Arizona history a few months later. In June 1997, then-Governor Fife Symington said during a press conference that he was asking the Department of Public Safety to investigate the lights. Former advisor Chuck Coughlin said the governor's aides were concerned about how the comment would make Symington look during his ongoing federal trial on bank fraud charges. That's interesting. Governor is on trial for bank fraud charges, and we're supposed to believe his authenticity and truthfulness when he talks about a UFO sighting. Interesting. The solution was to make a joke out of it, he said. So they sent a staffer to a local costume shop for an alien suit. Symington announced that the source of lights had been found and presented his chief staff, Jay Hillier, decked out in an alien costume. Now that's interesting. I guess I must have overlooked this. It says, former advisor Chuck Coughlin said the governor's aides were concerned about how the comment would make Symington look during his ongoing federal trial on bank fraud charges. You have to wonder, would that have anything to do with what he did? So bank fraud charges, that's really interesting. I looked this up, and you can look it up yourself. Just typed it in. According to Wikipedia, it says, in 1997, Symington was convicted on 7 counts of bank fraud and resigned from office, but the convictions were later overturned before the government could retry him. Symington was pardoned in January of 2001 by President Bill Clinton, whom he once saved from a riptide off of Connecticut during his youth. And you don't think these guys are connected? I'm going to read that again. In 1997, Symington was convicted on 7 counts of bank fraud and resigned from office. This is the same year of the Phoenix Lights, the same year that he brought the staff member out dressed up as an alien, made a big joke of everything. Now, according to Symington, he'll tell you that, well, we did that because we didn't want to upset people and have them be afraid of UFOs. But his staff member here apparently says, no, we did that because we were afraid of the impact of him investigating the same might have on his bank fraud trial. Well, maybe you should have investigated it because he was convicted, it says. And then it says the convictions were later overturned before the government could retry him. Symington was pardoned in January of 2001 by President Bill Clinton. So he's convicted in 97. It says the convictions were later overturned, all right? And then before the government could retry him, so 4 years go by, in 2001, Bill Clinton pardons Symington. And then it says President Bill Clinton, whom he once saved from a riptide off of Connecticut during his youth. Now that's weird. I thought that Bill Clinton was born and raised in Arkansas. So I'm not really sure what he was doing in Connecticut, but look how connected these guys are. There's just like this, it's like not even 12 degrees of separation. It's like 3 degrees of separation or something. I think that's what I think is almost as interesting as anything when you come to these UFO cases and the government's involved is how tangled it is. So you have a governor who his people ask him to investigate this really major site. He makes a joke out of it, just kind of diffuses the whole thing. He still gets convicted of fraud, but then that's overturned. I don't know all the details in that. I suppose on some kind of an appeal. Who knows who the judge was or how they're related. And then before the government has a chance to retry him, he gets pardoned by Bill Clinton, whose life he'd saved as a young man. I talk about conspiracies and entanglements and all this sorts of stuff that involves the UFO phenomenon and really pretty much everything else that we see around us. And people say that I'm a nut or I'm a conspiracy theory. There's examples like this right here, the closeness, the limited degrees of separation between these big time players that should just tell you, man, what are we dealing with? This cover-up is so easy to see. Now, I'll look at one more case here. This last case I want to dive into a little bit deeper is the Delphos, Kansas case. Now, we've talked about this before on the podcast. I think it's been a while, but it's a really cool case. I found this article from Unilad.com. It's got a picture of the husband and wife here, a couple of old-school Kansas farmers. Eye-opening scorch marks on ground show where family watched UFO land, it says. This is by Grodd Kayunga, and it's got a picture here where the UFO actually landed at. An unexplained phenomenon left a family scratching their heads after they allegedly spotted a UFO that seemingly caused a white ring formation in the mud of their farm. The incident took place in the small town of Delphos, Kansas on November 2nd, 1971. Though it's been revisited by the History Channel show, The Proof is Out There, which took a deep dive into the story in one of its episodes. Ron Johnson, 16, was on his family's farm when he said he saw a bright mushroom-shaped aircraft hovering nearby. He then ran inside to tell his parents, who came out on the farm only to see the craft take off into the sky. The family then examined the ground where the UFO had been and found an 8-foot-wide white ring with a white-colored crust. The family also alleged that the crust appeared to be glowing, and when Johnson's mother touched the white ring, her fingers went numb. Yeah, I would say if you come across this UFO metamaterial, definitely do not touch it. I think a lot of the stuff is radioactive. The sheriff at that time, Harlan Inlow, retold the story on the show and said, "It was an eye-opening surprise. Here's this white, dry ring. It looks like a big donut sitting in the middle of a mud field. We took statements, we photographed it, and we took actual soil samples. I am 100% convinced that an incident happened, and what the family told us was credible." The proof is out there. Own team of analysts took another look at the soil samples from the incident and were able to confirm that some of the chemicals found were hydrophobic in nature, meaning it is water repellent. Physicist Matthew Skye Davis also confirmed to the show, despite the time that has passed, the soil is still displaying glowing properties You got to ask yourself, what could have done that? While some have been convinced this incident is a clear indication of alien intervention into America, some experts have offered alternative theories. Notice how he couches the term as experts. That's appeal to authority right there. So he just went from giving you the facts of the story to giving you an opinion piece. NASA geologist Dr. Bob Anderson suggested the incident could be a natural phenomenon and explain the reasons for surprising soil properties. I realize that this area is pretty conclusive to this kind of thing. I don't believe it has anything to do with UFO. I think it is a natural phenomenon of groundwater interaction in biology, Anderson said on the episode. Yeah, because it happens all the time. Not. He concluded the white ring could form due to a mix of an unknown organism and water found in the soil. He also went on to explain the mother's injury after touching the white crust. The mother got her hand burnt a little bit by touching the ring. That usually happens if you have an acid. It wouldn't surprise me if something got into the groundwater, Anderson said. Okay, this is ridiculous. First off, he doesn't tell us how far down the groundwater is. I mean, a groundwater could be 10 foot below the ground. It could be 300 foot below the ground. And if this was a very shallow water table, then I would imagine that this stuff would have seeped up in other places. Okay, this was unusual enough that the sheriff didn't look at this and say, oh yeah, this is a sinkhole or a groundwater seep or something like that. So they're trying to make this very unusual, unnatural thing seem like a natural thing. He tells you, well, there's a chemical there. I don't know where it came from, but it had to be natural. Well, a lot of assumptions being made there. He says, my gut feeling is that, hold on. Now, we're being told this guy is an expert. An expert is supposed to bring you the facts, right? But how does this sentence start? My gut feeling is that there is something buried in that area that was man-made, chemical, which would not show up on those 1970s soil surveys. So that's his gut feeling. And your gut feeling is based on what? I don't have any. Did he go out there and sample this stuff? Did he do an excavation? Was there any kind of investigation done? No, but that's the expert's gut feeling. While weighing up both the possibility of UFOs scorching the Earth as well as a natural phenomena theory, the show concluded that the incident is simply an unexplained phenomena. The show added that the family on the farm buried the ring in order to deter trespassers from doing their own investigations. It would have been nice if they could have got some teams in there to actually investigate that thing thoroughly, you know. I mean, there's people now probably that would have enough money to fund some kind of investigation like this. But this is another case where you have these strange UFO phenomena appear. Somebody sees them. It leaves traces in the ground. And what's the first reaction? Well, the first reaction is denial. Denial, denial, denial. And notice in both these cases, whether it's the Phoenix Lights or this thing in Delphos or in Kansas, look at your expert witnesses that are being cited. In Arizona, your expert witness is a governor who at the time was on trial for bank fraud. He somehow got that case overturned. And apparently, it looked like they were going to retry him because President Clinton pardoned him. So you have a person that a lot of people might think, well, he's got a pretty big incentive here to do what he's told. I mean, if he's looking at spending the rest of his life in federal prison, and somebody in the Men in Black come along and say, look, you're going to bring out this guy dressed up in one of these idiotic alien costumes and you're going to blow this whole thing over, then that might be enough incentive for him to do that. Now, the jury found him guilty, but later on, that charge was overturned. And just to make good, he was pardoned. So, did he have an incentive to, you know, not rock the boat, to not investigate, to do what he's told? I don't know. You have to wonder. Because in all the interviews that I've seen with Fife Symington, he's never said, yeah, by the way, I was on trial for bank fraud. I was really worried about that. Honestly, as much as I've investigated this case, I don't think I've ever really seen that he was convicted of bank fraud before. I just kind of overlooked it, I suppose. We think that all of our government leaders are honest and clean-cut and would never lie to us, but this guy was on trial for bank fraud. So should that impinge his testimony a little bit? It would yours or ours, I think, if we reported a UFO. It's like these farmers. They just tell you what they saw. there's this ring that's there. The woman touches it. She gets instantly numb in her hand. It has a bad effect on her. And it's there 50 years later or whatever. But we're told that it was just some unknown chemical that happened to be spilled there. I guess prior to 1971, they never have tested what it is. And the experts that they present to us are former NASA people. And everything that they tell us in an attempt to debunk the sighting is based on their gut feeling. Well, how reliable is their gut feeling? So I think when you get into these cases, and we're always presented with the authorities, you know, to tell us that these things aren't real. When you dig into it a little bit, a lot of times you find out that the authorities that they present are either conflicted because they got major issues going on in their life at that moment, or they just aren't doing a thorough investigation. They're just put up there like a cutout. So it's always important to go beyond what we're being told in the mainline media to do the investigation. And so much of this evidence is just self-evident that I don't think we even need to worry about getting permission from the government or some authority figure to believe in this stuff to see that something is going on. And these are definitely unsolved UFO cases. Until next time, this is UFO Warning, over and out.